Hey there, Spacemakers. CJ here to announce a huge shift in the Make Space podcast. A new year means a time for change, and in our case, a new name. Instead of the Make Space podcast, this will now be the Sexy Sacred Space podcast. We'll still be talking about how to make space and take up space for your sexy self in the world, but with an emphasis on the fact that self-care and social care is sexy. We'll be redefining what you know to be sexy, sacred, and true. So let's embrace change together as we step into a new sexy, sacred space. Now on to today's episode. Welcome to the Make Space podcast. I'm your host, CJ Thomas, and today I have the incredibly intuitive and fiercely radiant Heather Ashimura joining me. Heather Ash is one of my mentors, and I will forever be grateful for the lessons she has shared with me and continues to share with many other women on how to live in their authenticity and walk the warrior goddess way. Her ability to teach with such a powerful yet humble energy has been a huge inspiration to me on my own personal journey, and the efforts she continues to make to bring women of color into her trainings is a huge reason why I wanted to have her on the show. Her work to rebirth socially and emotionally aware leaders continues to inspire me, and I'm so happy she's here. So welcome to the show, Heather Ash.
Thanks so much, CJ. It's so great to be here with you.
Thank you. And I want to start out by asking you the question that I ask everybody that comes onto the show. So how are you making space in the world for others and radically taking up some space for yourself these days?
A great question. I'm really passionate about looking at privilege and social justice issues and how to help give everyone a voice. And so one of my big missions is to make sure that women of color especially have training around leadership and have access to leadership training, specifically around the Warrior Goddess and some of the other programs that I do. And that's been just such a joy and such a gift to be able to bring more women of color into our programs. And for myself, it's really as a white woman who's in the spiritual community, you know, as a spiritual teacher, really looking at how to use the platform that I have in order to speak about these issues that sometimes people don't want to hear about. And so that's how I'm learning how to take up space, is to do what I do, which, you know, everything that I do, I love, but also to keep delving deeper into myself and into these issues so that I can speak as clearly and as powerfully as possible about them.
That is absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And what an amazing response. You know, I mean, I think that what you said about the fact that these are issues that people don't want to hear about, it's huge, because we're in this place right now where, at least the way I see it, you know, there's this line between the up and coming millennials who, you know, have this completely different worldview. And there's a lot more emphasis on being politically correct and socially and racially aware and using the right terminology when it comes to, you know, addressing people and themselves. And then we have, you know, another line of people who maybe didn't grow up with those types of ideals in place. And so it can be really challenging when those conversations come up. And I'm curious, you know, where do you kind of see yourself on that line? Do you feel like you've always been in this place of being super socially and racially aware? Or do you feel like this is something that you've just now, you know, kind of come into? Or what does that look like for you?
You know, from my earliest college days, I was incredibly political. I was very lucky to be part of a community of really socially aware, social justice aware, environmentally aware people from when I was 17 on. And that was an incredible gift. So I got educated really, really early. And I took it for granted, honestly. And so it's been interesting because the last couple of years, I'd say probably ever since the latest presidential election and all the emotion around that, of realizing what I always knew was that we need to be more conscious of what we're doing in the world in terms of race. Mm-hmm. And I had an illusion, I would say, that things were better than they were, which I think was true for a lot of white people. And so I just rededicated myself. I'd always, when I left the political world and really started delving into spiritual stuff when I was around 20, I made the commitment at that time, okay, I need to figure out how not to be angry all the time and how to be more effective, because I really saw the political work I was doing, I was upset most of the time and I didn't really feel like it was effective. Like what I was doing was as effective as it could be. And so now I feel I love that I'm coming this full circle of being incredibly grounded and centered and looking at the long-term view and delving into, okay, so how do we stay sustainable and how do we move these issues forward and keep educating people and making a difference in a way that we don't get burnt out.
And burnout, that's a huge one. There's a couple things I want to touch on with your response there. I know you were talking about that fact that people didn't realize that things were as bad as they were. And I know that that's something that is still fully present. We have Facebook, we have social media kind of putting it out there, I think that I still see people who are like, oh, racism is a thing of the past. It's not as bad as it used to be.
Yes.
And so that's really interesting. And what are your thoughts around that? Like that it's still here, it's still happening.
It's absolutely still happening. And there's ways things have gotten better in some ways, but I think there's also ways it's gotten worse because we don't realize that racism is still present. And so now we have this spiritual bypass illusion. It's all fine. And it can be incredibly harmful because what I'm from talking with my women of color friends, what they're reflecting back to me is that they really don't feel seen or heard. And that at the moment they start sharing about their experience with a white person, the white person shuts them down immediately and says, well, that's not happening anymore. And isn't able to stay with, let me hear your experience. It's like, oh no, that can't be real because that's not happening. And so we have this illusion that problem solved, I don't have to do anything about it. And because of that, I feel like a lot of white people have become complacent and also hurtful to the women of people of color. I'm saying women because I so often working with women of color, but to people of color, because they're just not aware of the impact that they're having with their words and their actions. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of denial.
Yeah. And for those of the listeners out there who don't fully know, so Heather Ash, do you identify as white? Is that correct? Or would you say that is the term?
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't want to say that. Yeah. So Heather Ash identifies as a white woman in this world. And so what I love about what you just said is the fact that you are super aware. And I'm curious, with that, with your political journey and your background, have you always been aware of your whiteness in the world? And kind of the different privileges that you maybe have compared to other people of color. Has that been something that's always been, in the forefront for you?
It has. I had a very unusual background. I was raised in Southeast Asia. So I was raised as a white person, in a very well-off family compared to the people that I saw. And so I realized from an incredibly young age what a huge privilege I had, because I was around people that had very little in terms of monetary. But what I also saw is they had a lot of family and deep spiritual connections that I didn't have. And so I didn't as much have a sense of, oh, I'm better than, because you know, we have more money. It was more like, okay, we have more money, but we're not happy. Like, you people are more happy is what I recognize because of the deep spiritual base. And that's what eventually caused me to start journeying into the world of, you know, personal development and healing and spirituality, because I wanted to find that peace that I felt with a lot of people that I was around in Asia growing up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the schools I went to were incredibly mixed. There were people from all over the world. So I was introduced to diversity and to the that beauty of we're all the same and we're all come from different points of view. And so that was a real gift. And then again, when I came to college and started doing political action, I did a lot of work around privilege and racism and exploring that whole realm. And there's a way that I've always been aware since then of the privilege that I have in a way that is so natural for me. It's kind of confusing for me, honestly, when I talk to other white people and they don't even think they have privilege. I'm like, how can you not? I mean, it's so obvious the privilege that we have. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so
yeah, that's super interesting. And I think that's also something that kind of makes you one of the perfect people to be teaching other white people about their privilege. The fact that you're aware of it and those people who aren't, you know, it takes a lot of the emotional labor off of the people of color. And I actually think that when I went to your retreat recently in New Mexico, that is something that really touched me. It was the fact that, you know, we came in and of course it was a beautiful, diverse group of women, but at no point did you expect for the people of color to take on the emotional labor of, you know, teaching people about their whiteness and privilege in this world of being a warrior goddess facilitator. And the way that you did it, I thought was so graceful. Do you want to share a little bit about, you know, how you came up? Well, first, I guess, you know, to share with the audience what that looked like when you were teaching mm-hmm. white facilitators about their whiteness, how you went about it, and then how you came up with the idea of how you were going to do it in the first place.
Absolutely. And I also want to interject because I'm remembering a conversation I had with a friend of mine, a woman of color, who first introduced me to that idea. And this was years ago, of not having white women go or white people go to people of color to get educated. And when she introduced it, I was like, what? I don't get that. Mm. But then as I talked to more and more people of color, I really understood. I was like, oh, right. If that's something that you're expected to do over and over again, that is exhausting. So I really got it because of my women of color or people of color friends. And so at that retreat, I felt really excited and nervous about separating out the white women from the women of color and giving the women of color space to talk and to process and to be with each other. And it's funny, when I first bought the land, the Warrior Heart Ranch where we did that retreat, one of my first visions was a retreat just for women of color and how amazing that would be. And so it felt like that was the beginning of that process. And I also knew that giving the women of color space, that would allow me to then take the white women and talk to them and see where they were at. Because the truth is, I really didn't know how they would respond or where they were in their own process of awareness around racism. And so having that 2 hours to delve in and also realizing that there was reaction. You know, we had a moment when I introduced it where one of the white women immediately was like, well, I want to be with the women of color. It's like, no, period. We're not talking about this now. Because I could see if we started to try and communicate about it with the whole group, it was going to create a lot of frustration. Mm-hmm. And that felt like that conversation of really helping start to unpack what is privilege, what is racism, needed to happen just with the white women. And it was gorgeous. You know, I think both groups were it was incredible what happened with both groups of having the space and that foundation of curiosity and exploration.
Absolutely, I agree. I think that through all of the work that I've done in terms of taking space with women of color only and, you know, speaking with white women and white people in general just about racial issues, that situation and particularly what happened after we came back together was something I'd never experienced before. And I don't cry easily. In that moment, I was crying yes. like a baby.
So beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Do you want to share a little bit about that for our listeners and kind of how you came up with the idea of what we did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after we had both had our time apart, I didn't know what I was going to do of how I was going to bring the group together. But I had a really strong, like, okay, how do we now mesh this in a really beautiful way? And so I just had this inspiration of bringing the white women in and having them sit and having a woman of color sit across so that there was one white woman and one woman of color. And I asked the white women to get really quiet and really still and to say a couple things and to really acknowledge the women of color. And I think the first question was, oh, it was a statement. I'm sorry for any way that I couldn't see you or that I didn't listen to you. Mm-hmm. And I really coached them, say that, stop, get quiet, listen. And if there's something that the woman of color has to say to you, listen. Don't try and fix or change or just listen. And then I think the second question is, there anything that you want to share with me or anything that you'd like to say? And again, wait. And just witnessing that process between the groups of the heart that happened. And the way that the women of color felt seen and heard, and the way the white women were able to hold. Like, they really got that importance of not putting themselves first, of not denying somebody else's experience, of finding that really deep heart connection. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful, incredibly life-changing. And what I also notice with that is the energy of holding space that's so present in the practice that we did. And as a warrior goddess facilitator, that's something that we learn in your training. So I'm curious if you can share a little bit with our listeners, just to switch gears a little bit and get them up to speed on what that looks like. When you teach people to be facilitators and hold space, part of that, is sitting. And what are some other ways that you would explain to a person who may not be familiar what being a warrior goddess facilitator looks like?
Yes. So the warrior goddess energy is about, the warrior is clarity, focus, commitment, 100% showing up. And the goddess energy is opening, creativity, receptivity, and softening into being present in a really different way than the warrior. And through the training for the facilitators, what I'm guiding them to do is to find their balance of those two energies and learn to use each of them skillfully. Mm-hmm. So there's times you want to be able to skillfully use warrior energy. There's times you want to skillfully be able to use goddess energy. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that makes the facilitator training, the warrior goddess facilitator training, unique is that the focus is on doing your own work first. Naming what your fears are, honoring the places that you're scared, and then also naming the excitement. And so I'm really hoping to help women not bypass and not try and be something that they're not, but to really find what's authentic, what's my expression, and bring that into the world. Because we need more authenticity in the world, not less.
So. Absolutely.
Yes.
I think that anybody who hears that statement will absolutely agree and appreciate what you just said, because.
Yeah. And it's messy, right? It's messy sometimes. I think that's the willingness of for the facilitators is to help them learn to be with their own mess so they can be with other women in their mess as we clean it all up. And it's the same thing with the white women and the women of color with the retreat. Like, I knew it was going to get messy, and that's okay. Mm. Like, we keep working together. Right. And I think where we get in trouble with each other, with ourselves, is when we think it shouldn't be messy. It should be clean. It should be clear. It should be perfect the first time. And that's where we create a lot of suffering for ourselves.
Words of wisdom, Heather Ash. Absolutely. And, you know, it's so interesting because when I listen to you, it's almost as if the Warrior Goddess curriculum is a social justice curriculum. you know, and it's very, yeah. What I think is really beautiful about it is it's so timeless and so applicable to so many different situations, whether it's dealing with personal trauma or dealing with, yes. You know, growing into your fullest and most authentic self, or dealing with social issues in your community, or even in private relationships with people. I love that everything that you share, it's so diverse.
Hey, Space Makers, CJ here. And I want to ask you, how are you feeling right now about your ability to make space in the world? As you all know, you are powerful creators, and you have the ability to make your dreams come true. Still, sometimes chasing dreams can be hard. But what if you had a companion that would bring you into alignment with everything you ever wanted? A tool that could help you manifest your wildest dreams? Now you do. I've written a 28-day guide to help you manifest with the power of the moon. It's a guide you can use again and again, and it's called Write by the Moon, a 28-day journal companion to manifesting with the cycles of the moon. Get your copy today at Amazon.com and start manifesting your dreams. Now, back to the show.
With that, I want to touch base on a new offering that you have coming up, the Warrior Heart Book that you wrote that's coming out on January 7th. Do you want to share with us a little bit about that?
Yes, it's so exciting. So the Warrior Heart Practice is a process that I came up with about 5 years ago when I was talking to a friend of mine who was stuck in a story. He had a big story that he kept telling himself and telling anybody who would listen. And he would share the story with me and be in incredible pain about it. And then I would say, honey, that's actually not what happened. I was there. This is what happened. And he'd be like, oh, right. I remember. Oh, yeah, you're right. And he'd feel better. And then 3 days later, he'd come back to me with the exact same amount of angst and suffering. And he couldn't hold on to the truth. And I realized talking to him how challenging it can be for all of us to stay in the truth, how it's easy to get hooked by the stories. And so I did a prayer one day when he was telling me the same story again. I was like, please, can I help my friend? Is there anything I can do to help him stay in the truth? Mm-hmm. And this process dropped in. And it's very simple. It's four chambers. And you start with the feeling chamber. What am I feeling? The story chamber. What story am I telling myself? And what you're learning to do is separate out the feeling from the story so that they're two separate things. You just give yourself permission to have the feelings, whatever they are, sit with them, and then be really honest. What are you telling yourself? What's the story? And then the truth chamber, what's true? What can I see is true here? And then the intent chamber, what do I want? What do I want to bring back to this situation? And then you go back through the chambers, which is where the magic really happens. So I think about it, you take the intent, you take your truth, you hold hands with both of those aspects. And then you step back into the story chamber to look at how else can you view your story? How can you shift the story or see it from a different point of view? And then you always close in the feeling chamber to come back to your body of what's actually happening in your body now. So that's a really brief overview. And what I love about the practice, like you said, it's so helpful for unwinding our own personal issues. And I've also started using it around social justice issues and environmental issues of helping people to be with the feelings and then look at what the story is and start to unwind everything so that we can start living more and more in truth.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what that brings me to think about is what you've taught us about the big story and the little story. And it's totally true. You know, social justice is a big story. It's something that's been going on for a long time. So with the little story, you know, what would you say is the little story within the big story of social justice?
The little story is everything counts in this moment. And so sometimes people get frustrated, I think. And I think this is part of why we're at where we're at, is we're so habituated to, we just want it done. We want it fixed. We want it done. We want to move on. And something like social justice or inner process work or trauma, it's not a quick fix. And we're just habituated now that it should be fast. And if it's not fast, something's wrong. So the short story is for each of us to learn how to be mindful of our actions and the impact they're having with the people around us. And the long story is that, like you said, this has been going on for a very long time, and it may not be fixed, in quotes, in our lifetime, but that we want to look towards what's possible and stay connected to that. And I think it's so important for us to keep hooking to the long story, to the big picture view of that place that our actions do count, and we're not going to see immediate results necessarily. But it's still critical for us to take the action.
Absolutely. Yeah. And being, you know, where you are, standing in your shoes, how do you use these practices to help you ground yourself? Do you feel like you always have the access to using those practices? Do you feel like sometimes you fall off? What does that look like for you?
I definitely fall off sometimes, and they're always there. And so I catch myself pretty quickly now. You know, like recently I've been teaching the last 3 days and around a lot of people, and usually between I teach, I will go hide. And this time I went out and spent time with people. And I really felt it on the plane ride here back to spend time with more of my friends, which I love. And I was feeling like, oh my God, I'm really stretched right now. Like I'm launching a book. I haven't had enough alone time. And I could feel I was disassociating. And I was like way up in my head and my chest. And so to sit and go, okay, sweetie, what's going on? What are you feeling? And just walk myself through and just stay with the feelings and notice the tension in my chest and notice how buzzy my energy was. And then look at what the story is and then look at what's true. Get clear on my intent and come back. It really helped me ground into the moment and get clear about what I need. And so much of the work that I share with everyone and with myself is about not abandoning ourselves, really. Like foundational, how do you not abandon yourself? How do you stay with yourself? And so there are definitely times that I do forget and drop myself, but I catch it pretty quick now and know what I need. You know, and we'll listen and we'll figure out what do I need. Even if it's, I mean, like right now I'm sitting outside and it's so good. It's so nice to talk to you and just be surrounded by this beautiful tree. And I was like, that's what I need. I just need to be outside more. So.
And it's so
simple. I get
to
be creative. It's so simple. Yeah.
I think that's really beautiful. And you know, it's something like simplicity is something I think we really take for granted these days. And there's this big idea that, you know, we have to have a lot of money to be happy or find peace, or, you know, it's gotta be really just some huge gesture. But you just sitting outside with a tree is all that you need. And I think that's really
beautiful.
Yeah. in this moment.
So true. Where
it changes.
In this moment. Yeah. Yes.
Well, another thing that you touched on just now was the fact that we cannot abandon ourselves. And when it comes to teaching women, white facilitators, how to hold space, what I imagine is that idea of abandoning themselves and who they are to make space for women of color might come up. And I'm curious what advice you would give to people when it comes to not abandoning the fact that you are a white woman in society and that that's okay.
Yes. Yeah, because it seems like white women have a tendency to either go towards this isn't really happening or I feel guilty. Like there isn't, you know, like I'm not privileged and there is no racism, to I'm completely guilty and I'm going to beat myself up now because I didn't know. And it's like, sweetheart, stop. Like, you don't have to feel guilty. This has been in place for a long time. You just weren't aware of it. So helping people that don't realize the impact of privilege, don't realize, like really just never learned what privilege is and don't see themselves as privileged. Once they learn, what I found is it's really important to catch them to immediately go, all right, what's the action you're going to take, rather than them going into judgment and guilt and how horrible everything is. You know, and crying on women of color's shoulders and saying, I'm so sorry. It's like, stop, 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 stop. Because that's a form of abandonment again.
Right.
And you know, it's an inability to stay with the intensity of it without using it against self or against others.
Right. Well, yeah. And that, it makes sense. And it definitely comes up a lot. Just the fact that it is an emotional journey. It is something that it's never going to be easy. And like you said, there's so much that has led up to this moment. And I know that it can be hard even for a woman of color to remember that it's not the person standing in front of me. It's the history, the history that has brought us to where we
are today,
you know.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that it's interesting because I was just reading the last chapters of the Warrior Heart Practice and recognize, because there's a lot about connecting to spirit and being in the big picture of everything's fine and everything is beautiful. And I think that what I'm like, where my edge is right now is really teaching myself, like I have this in my bones, but I'm trying to figure out how to explain it to others, of being able to see multiple levels at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because on one level, everything's fine. We're all the same. We're all evolving. It's beautiful. Like it's messy. It's beautiful. And our souls are doing the soul's journey. Mm-hmm. Yay, that's great. But if you only hold that, what my friend calls a 10,000 foot view, you're not honoring what it means to be human and the challenges of being human and the work that we need to do here. So I also want people to have their feet really firmly on the ground of what are we doing and how do we bring everyone along with us? It's not about one, you know, us individually getting ahead. It's about all of us moving together and empowering each other. And so these different levels that we get to hold of that spirit view and the on the ground right here challenges. And both are really, really important. Because if you just, like when I was really invested in politics, I just burnt out so quickly. But the moment that I started to bring in the larger picture, it's allowed me to be a lot more sustainable.
Right. Would you say that your spirituality lends to that sustenance as well?
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely say that that's true. because I recognized that in order to be as effective as I can be, I have to stay connected to my own soul and to spaciousness and to nurturing and to love. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big part of my mission, as well as educating and struggling against the injustice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what are some tools, some modern day tools that you would say would be a good way for white facilitators and people, women of color that are facilitating as well, we can look to for education around race and social justice?
Gosh, such a good question. I would say really teaching, where I would start is teaching everyone how to ground and get quiet. Mm-hmm. That simple foundational practice of the favorite way I like to do is putting your roots into the earth, visualizing that your roots are really deep in the earth and that you're centered in that connection and that you pull energy from the earth up through your body, connect to sky through branches, have sky move through your body and connect to the earth. And that combined with getting quiet and just getting still inside and learning how to let the mind do whatever the mind's doing, but access your own stillness is going to be the foundation of anything. Because if we can't come back to that rootedness, it's way too easy for us to get into the struggle and the fight and the defensiveness. But the moment you have that background of wait, get quiet, open, then you can allow the confusion or allow the frustration or allow the fear, whatever it is, to be present while you continue forward. So we have to learn how to do that in ourselves, get really comfortable with conflict, basically.
Yeah.
Be able to, like, the moment conflict arises or fear arises or whatever, that we immediately root, get centered, get quiet, open, and listen. Like, what's next? What is next? And let that channel be really open so that you're not trying to figure out how to do it right, but you're opening to what's the next best action. What's really needed here for everyone involved.
Absolutely.
Now, I've had some big run-ins with recently with white women that have been upset with me around that I'm even teaching this. And I had this just experience where it was like my worst case scenario in a way of like, why are you doing this? This isn't part of the program. I didn't pay for this.
Wow.
And yeah, and like really upset and like, I'm leaving, I'm not doing this, because we were going to talk about privilege. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like, what is going, why is this person having such a huge reaction? But I was able to just get quiet and open of like, what's needed here, and to go really slowly with her, because I could feel she's working with something else. She's saying it's around this, but it's something much larger. It was interesting because in the dynamic, the women of color, like, why aren't you confronting her? Why aren't we talking about this? You said we were going to talk about this right away. And I said, no, I didn't say we're going to talk about this right away. I said, we're going to talk about this, but it's not ripe. It's not ready. And I was willing to be in the tension of all of it. And it was super uncomfortable, but I had to keep coming back to, I trust what I'm doing. Like my intent, I trust my intent. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but yeah. I trust my intent to do this in a good way. And it was beautiful. It all unraveled and she was able to she got it in a big way. And the women of color were able to come back and go, we get it. We see, you can't push. We understand now. So it was a huge healing, but I had to keep coming back, ground, get quiet, open, be with the conflict, be with the tension, know that it's much bigger. You know, again, like we were talking about, this is a long story. This isn't a short story. And if I just focus on the short story, it would have made me crazy because I would have felt like I had to fix it right away.
Right.
But to go, okay, part of a much longer story, let me hold space and love for everyone involved and listen for the guidance of what's next. So I think that's really the biggest skill that we need to deepen in our body.
Yeah, and what an amazing skill to have as a facilitator to be able to hold space for everyone involved and including yourself in that moment. And
Yes, I mean,
I think it's really beautiful that you are able to admit the fear that came up for you and the tension in that moment. And I think, you know, not stepping into that idea of, and you've taught about this before, but the idea of I'm the facilitator, so I need to have all the answers.
Right. Yeah. Which, no. No, I just, we're here to be more and more to become empty vessels so that we can let something larger come through us. And that's where the biggest healing happens, I think. When we get our personalities, we're able to get our personalities out of the way and allow our highest self, the biggest possibility to come through. And we have to hold our little personalities that are freaked out. I mean, I had to hold that part of me that was like, I'm going to do it wrong. And I'm the whole, you know, because there was a point I was like, the whole group's going to self-destruct. Like, this is not going to work. And hold myself through that. So, yeah.
Well, kudos to you for that. That's amazing. And, you know, it's a great example of, for anybody out there who's looking to do work and facilitate and move us through social justice, that's what you kind of have to expect sometimes. You know, it's not easy, but I think that you handled that really gracefully. And I hope that that sets a really great example for some of our listeners out there who might encounter or have encountered those situations before.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, one of the things that came to mind is the fact that we live in a world of so much stimulation. And while it is so important to make space, you know, in our minds and clear ourselves so that we can be vessels, it's also very challenging at this time. So I'm curious if you would mind maybe just taking us through like a short practice where we can just clear our minds here together and show our listeners what that looks like. So maybe they can come back to this and use this when they need it.
That's a beautiful idea. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Two practices that come to mind. So the first is to close your eyes and put one hand on your heart and one hand on your belly. And taking a breath into the belly. And as you exhale, exhale everything out. Really letting go. And imagining that you're letting the thoughts go, you're letting the busyness go. And just take a couple really mindful inhales into the belly and then exhales with that intent of clearing, of releasing. Letting the mind start to quiet. And then bringing your attention to your heart and feeling into something that you're grateful for in your life. Something that you really appreciate about the world, about yourself, around, about a friend, someone close to you. Feeling that sense of gratitude and openness and really bringing it from a thought into a feeling sense in your heart. So what does that gratitude and that openness feel like in your body? Just breathe into it. And keep giving yourself permission to be in this place and this time, to stay out of the future and out of the past. Just appreciating that feeling sense of gratitude. And acknowledging your dedication, your tenacity, your willingness. What's something about yourself that you really appreciate? And acknowledge that. Just take a moment to acknowledge some quality around yourself. And use that to also center you in your gratitude. Good. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and just look around whatever space that you're in right now. See if you can hold that sense of gratitude and being centered in the heart and the belly. And just acknowledge what's around you. Yeah, so that's a simple practice that I use often if I get unbalanced, is I'll just one hand on the heart, one hand on the belly, drop, get centered. That's really lovely. And we can expand that into looking at where are the gaps in our lives. So I always invite people to look, you know, it is so busy in our world, but that all of us have gaps of you're waiting in line for a cup of coffee, or you're at the grocery store, or you're walking down to the meeting hall, or, you know, your conference room or whatever, you're at a stoplight. And instead of filling all of those spaces with worry or checking your phone or making lists of what you need to do, that you practice coming back to your body and getting quiet and just being. And you can use those gaps as a way to slow down in between things. And it's incredibly effective at rewiring how you are in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that practice. And it's just, I think that it's going to be something that's really valuable for our listeners, especially what you said about the gaps. I think that we all have to remember that while we're busy, you're never too busy to show up for yourself and not forget yourself. So
thank you
so much, Heather.
Yeah. You're so welcome.
And, you know, I would love to take some time to just ask you about the upcoming offerings that you have, anything that you want to share with our listeners, and where can they go to learn more about you and get that book, Warrior Heart Practice, coming out on January 7th.
Yes, the Warrior Heart Practice book can be pre-ordered pretty much anywhere, online or at your favorite independent bookstore. And I'm doing in the process of doing a giveaway. Well, it starts on the 26th and it goes all the way through January 7th. So people can jump in at any time. We're doing daily gifts and mini teachings and podcasts and all sorts of things happening. So that's a great place to get inspired and excited about the teachings and the book. And we also have a warrior goddess facilitator training and a warrior heart practice training live coming up in March. So if there's any of you out there that are leaders and you're looking for more support or more tools, these will be the first live trainings we've ever done with either of these two programs. So I'm really excited. Those will be happening in San Antonio.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Heather, Ash, Amara, for coming onto the show, for being willing to talk about such an intense topic, and being so open to teaching about social justice, racial awareness, and how we can move into that next phase of making space for what matters in the world, and in doing that, making change.
Thank you so much, CJ. So such a blessing that you're doing this show and all the gifts that you bring into the world. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for inviting me onto the show.
Absolutely. And for all of those listeners out there, go and make sure that you get the Warrior Heart Practice. It's going to be something that changes your life. It's going to change the way that you interact with people, you know, whether it is a person of a different race or just, you know, people in your life and how you show up for yourself and for what's going on for yourself. So make sure you get that book January 7th. And thank you, Heather Ash.
You're so welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's our episode for today. I hope you feel empowered to go out into the world and make space for others, or just take up some space for your damn self. You're worth it. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I want to know about it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and listen to it with your friends.
Ain't no party like a podcast party, y'all. If you want to support the podcast, you can donate on Patreon at www.patreon.com/makespace. The music for this podcast was gifted by Southern Oregon hip-hop artist and producer, Jaya Rays. You can hear more of his amazing music on iTunes. That's J-A-Y-A Rays. See you on the next episode. Until then, don't forget, breathe in, breathe out, make space. Here is space, here's a wave like crushed by the way. Hear your heart, hears you clearly, what will you say? Here is heat, here you speak, here's a wheel that turns eternally. A lot of nothing, absolute and empty, just like me.